If you've been thinking about buying a new water heater or replacing your drafty windows, now could be the time to act. President Trump's new tax law eliminates most of the clean energy tax credits established by the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the deadlines to take advantage of these credits, what's going away, and what will remain are Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability Director Oliver Kroner. Welcome back, Ollie.
Thanks, Lucy.
And Washington Post Climate Solutions reporter Nicolas Rivero. Thanks so much for being here, Nico.
Thank you for having me.
Nico, how did the deadlines change for tax credits for electric vehicles? Let's start with those.
Yeah, well, so with everything we're talking about, originally in the Biden era under the Inflation Reduction Act, there was money to cover these credits through to the 2030s. But with EVs specifically, those are the first to expire, and they're going to end on September 30th. So if you want to use that credit, you have to buy or lease an EV by September 30th.
And Nico, how much are those credits worth? What kinds of vehicles do they apply to?
So for a new EV, that's $7,500. Used is $4,000. One thing to note with these is it's the same amount whether you're going to buy an electric vehicle or lease one. And so if you take $7,500 off of a lease, it actually turns out to be a much better deal. And so a lot of people who use this credit are using it on the lease because it can really lower your monthly payment. But in general, there's a few other requirements in terms of your income and also where the parts of these electric vehicles are made. And so the IRS keeps a list of which EV models currently qualify, which changes from time to time. But you can check that online at a website called fueleconomy.gov.
And Nico, can people still get tax credits if they want to install EV chargers at their homes? What are the specifics with that? Because certainly not everybody has that already.
Yeah, definitely. And that can make a big difference in terms of, you know, whether an EV actually makes sense for you. The EV charger credit actually lingers for a lot longer. That goes until next year. So if you want to take advantage of that credit, it's June 30th, 2026 is the deadline there, and it can cover 30% of the cost of putting in an EV charger up to a maximum of $1,000. But the other thing to think about there is this federal credit, but a lot of car companies, including Ford, Hyundai, GM, actually offer their customers their own rebates or discounts on installing a charger. So even if you don't take advantage of the federal credit, there might still be other ways to get a discount on that.
Ollie, you know, we started out by talking about a lot of different things. So the deadlines are changing. There are these rollbacks happening. What's all that going to mean for the Green Cincinnati plan? Could these changes have an impact on the entire city?
Certainly. The Green Cincinnati Plan is a long-term vision, and it was written in parallel with the Inflation Reduction Act, which, as Nico mentioned, had a 10-plus year horizon. So we had been doing a lot of long-term planning, and that timeline is rapidly accelerating in real time. This is a dynamic moment. We are working to understand the new rules and what they mean for our projects. I will say it certainly doesn't stop us. There are many projects moving forward, and as we look at this pipeline that we've been building over the last 3 years, you know, in some ways this narrows our focus. The difference between planning for a marathon, planning for a sprint, and we're doing everything we can to figure out what we can make happen in real time before these accelerated timelines. But that's for city projects. You know, you think about the broader implications for the economy, for households, for businesses. Some of them have been doing that long-term planning. Others are reacting in real time. You know, many homeowners are not planning 10 years out for their furnace replacement. They're replacing it when it breaks. So this moment and these new rules require us as individuals, household owners, renters, to think about what makes the most sense strategically in the next 3 to 6 months.
Well, let's talk about that for homeowners, Ollie. These programs related to home improvements, can people still get tax credits for getting a more efficient water heater, for example, or a heat pump? How does all that work?
Yes, we now have until the end of this year to complete these projects. I was actually texting my wife this morning about scheduling an installation. estimate. There are approximately $3,200 worth of credits available, tax credits available for things like some of the projects you've mentioned, replacing doors and windows, upgrading insulation, some appliance repairs, specifically heat pump installations, whether that's to replace your furnace and AC or to replace your hot water heater. These are here with us until the end of the year. So the clock is ticking.
Hmm. So it could mean getting rid of a perfectly good or one that's still working heating and air conditioning system if you want to replace it to get this credit?
I wouldn't encourage people to get rid of a perfectly good one.
Okay.
But if you're at the end of the lifespan and you think maybe you have a year left, one more season left, I think this is a pretty good time to get an estimate and see what makes sense.
We're talking about clean energy tax credits, which are being eliminated, and when. Do you have questions or comments, or have you already used these credits? We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Nico, do people typically get an audit of their home's energy efficiency before they decide whether to make these changes? I mean, not everybody knows exactly if they need new insulation or windows or all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of what's covered under these credits. You can get up to $150 for a home energy audit and have somebody basically come out, check out your house and recommend, you know, they might find something like drafty windows or poor insulation in the attic or whatever it is that is most affecting the energy efficiency of your home. And they'll basically give you an estimate and say like, well, listen, this is the upgrade that makes sense for you. This is the one that's going to pay back for your specific home and your situation. And maybe some other thing that somebody else might do wouldn't make as much sense for you.
Hmm. Ollie, is it difficult to find somebody in town who can do those kinds of audits? How busy are those people these days?
They are not hard to find.
Okay.
I don't think it would be too hard to schedule that service either. And I can't agree more with Nico. I think it's an excellent use of a little bit of money to better understand how your home works, where you're using energy, where you have the best opportunity to save. I can speak from personal experience that I was very wrong in what I thought I should do first and foremost until I had a home energy audit, and that gave me much better direction for
really?
My home.
And this is your whole job. I mean, you're the guy, you're the sustainability guy, and you thought one thing and the home energy audit told you something else.
Right, right. They have tools available to test how well your home is insulated, where you have leaks, which aren't easy to spot with your eye,
right?
So a very valuable exercise.
Hmm. So, Nico, what if you don't typically get a tax refund or you typically don't owe money on your taxes? What if you usually come out even? Is it worth going after these credits? Can they still help you?
Yeah, so it depends a little from one thing to the next. I would say for an electric car specifically, it's absolutely worth it. And the reason for that is that in most cases now, if you go to a dealership, they'll basically give you the credit as an upfront discount on the sticker price of the car. You don't actually have to file for it on your taxes later. The dealership will take over that credit from you and then just give you the discount. So in that case, I mean, if the dealer you're working with will do that, then it's absolutely worth it. For some of these other ones, like I believe the home improvement credits, then yeah, I think it actually, you can't like... you can't claim more than you would already owe in taxes. So you got to think about your individual situation on that.
Yeah. Is that something that people have to kind of do the math, Ollie?
Yeah, but I think there's another layer of the math also. We are experiencing some of the most significant price increases for energy that we've seen in recent history. And, you know, some of the changes underway right now will limit the new energy coming online. We're seeing surging demand for electricity, primarily driven by these new data centers that are popping up around the region. And we are competing for that energy. So the cost of energy is going up. And if you're not taking steps to make your home more efficient, to make your vehicle more efficient, you will experience that cost increase for years to come.
We have some callers on the line. Hey, Alicia, thanks for your call. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for this important show. So I spent like $35,000 having my house rewired and then another $15,000 to have it insulated, and I could only claim like $250 from the energy credit, and I was just kind of shocked by that. I don't know if I did something wrong or if I missed something, but yeah, I just wanted to go, you could go into that a little bit more.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a big discount from all that spending. Ollie, you have any thoughts on that?
Hi, Alicia, did you work with a tax professional?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to see if I can get her back. Oh, our phone systems are not my friend right now, Ollie. Sorry.
Alicia, I think it's a question for a tax pro. I do think you would qualify for more than that small amount that you returned, that was returned to you. But you have to file the paperwork correctly, and some tax professionals are more attuned to those details than others. But based on the projects you're describing, you should certainly have qualified for more in the energy efficient home improvement credit category.
Does that make sense to you, Alicia? Oh, I'm sorry, Nico.
Oh, I was just going to say that the IRS puts out data on this. And so for the energy efficient home improvement credit, the average claim is something like $800 or $900. And for the residential clean energy credit, it's $5,000. So usually like the average claims people are putting in come in higher than that.
Hmm. Okay, Alicia, well, does that help a little bit?
Maybe I just went to the wrong tax professional because he just had me fill out this form. And so I filled out the form. So I guess I need to find another tax professional.
Yikes. Well, good luck, Alicia. It sounds like you did lots of great stuff for your home long term. So I hope at least you get some benefits from that. We have Bob on the phone. Thanks so much for your call, Bob. What's your question?
I'm retired and do not pay $250 in taxes to the federal government each year. It's several hundred dollars less than that. If I were to buy an EV, could I use, how would I use the entire credit, or am I limited to what I'm paying in taxes?
Hmm. Nico, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. So if you get an EV, at this point, the majority of the claims for this EV tax credit are the thing I described earlier, where you go to the dealership, the dealer basically takes over that tax credit claim from you, and they just give you a discount up front on the price of the car. So if it's a new EV, they'll just give you a $7,500 discount, depending on the model and the specifics of like where its parts are made and that sort of thing. If it's used, they'll just give you $4,000 up front, and then you don't even have to worry about actually claiming it on your tax form next year, in most cases. So even if your tax, you know, what you normally pay in taxes is lower than the amount of the credit, you can still get the full benefit of it if you go to a dealership where they are going to claim the credit on your behalf and then give you the discount up front.
Okay. Bob, I hope that helps. Thanks so much for calling.
Lucy, may I add?
Please do.
And Nico alluded to this earlier, but that also applies to leases. Mm-hmm. And some of the lease deals right now are outrageous. I really, if you are shopping for
in a good way
an electric vehicle, there are some very good deals that are likely set to expire.
Okay. We got an email from Dan. Dan writes, I think it should at least be mentioned that the rebates under the HERE and HOMES programs are not going away. Indiana has just started to accept applications. Rebates are 100% for those with income less than 80% of median income. 50% for those with income less than 150% of median income. Might have read a couple of those numbers wrong, but that gets me to this question. There is a difference between these federal tax credits that are being phased out and funding that states have programs for. Nico, what's going on there? Are there still opportunities with these state programs?
Yes, and that's a great point. There's these rebates. One is home electrification appliance rebates here. There's also the home efficiency rebates program. Those are federal programs, but they're administered by states, and they're not going away. The only wrinkle there is it's up to the states to actually implement them. And Ollie can correct me here. I had looked this up ahead of the show, and I believe Ohio has not fully rolled out that program and started giving out the money yet. But in the future, that should be available.
That's right, Nico. Ohio's plan has been conditionally approved, so we are waiting further detail before these dollars start to flow, but certainly appreciate the point. There are more programs on the horizon that will further help with these home energy improvements.
And Nico, for these car-related credits that we've been talking about, are these fully electric vehicles, or do hybrids get any credits for this stuff?
Yeah, these are electric vehicles, and then also hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, which people probably aren't going to be getting as many of.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can I add?
Please.
That some plug-in hybrids, so that they have a battery and receive gas, also qualify.
Okay. So you got to do your homework. Figure it out. Are these programs, you know, we just heard from a caller who spent just thousands and thousands of dollars on home improvements. Are these programs, Ollie, generally being used by higher income people? I guess I wonder how much help can any of these programs offer lower income people who can't afford an EV, even used, or the cost of new windows or water heaters up front? How does that all balance out?
Yeah, I think inherently in programs that are designed as tax credits, they favor people with finances to spend. It's an attempt to leverage that spending in order to bring technologies to the market and bring the pricing down. So yes, anything that is structured as a tax credit typically favors the more affluent. However, that brings it to the market, makes it more affordable for everyone. There are other programs specifically designed to assist with energy efficiency in multifamily buildings, or programs targeted towards tenants experiencing energy poverty, energy burden, that we can get into in more detail.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about those, because there are a lot of renters in Cincinnati. What are some of the programs that can help them, or are they more geared towards the property owners to reduce costs?
Well, both. National studies show that low-income renters in Cincinnati face some of the highest levels of energy poverty in the country. So our office has been working to design programs that attack both sides of that, right? So working with property owners who lease to low-income renters to help them understand what energy efficiency improvements are available and provide matching costs, matching dollars to make those improvements. If you are a low-income renter, I invite you to our Warm Up Cincy program. You can find that online, which offers a few different services, including energy education, some energy audits for apartments. We can help replace appliances, lighting fixtures to help bring down your monthly utility bills.
And then how do you work with property owners?
That's taken a few different shapes. We're working largely with large property owners who have low-income rental populations, right? So Over the Rhine Community Housing or Cincinnati Metropolitan Housing Authority, to help them figure out the financing, and in some cases provide finances to help them make electrification efforts, help them insulate, help them replace lighting and appliances.
Nico, do I understand correctly that in some states, utilities companies themselves have programs that encourage like these energy audits we've been talking about? What are those about? What's the incentive for these companies to help people become more energy efficient?
Yeah, that's right. And I guess that's like an important broader point, which is, you know, these federal credits are going away. There are still, though, state and local incentives and some from just utilities themselves. It can be a little tough to keep track of all of them, but Rewiring America, which is a nonprofit that kind of encourages people to electrify their homes, has a tool on their website where if you plug in your zip code, they can help you look up what's available in your area and potentially from your utility provider. But, you know, those companies as well have an incentive to help people be more efficient with the way they use energy. And so they will, in some cases, give people rebates or help them pay for some of these exact same improvements like insulation and that sort of thing.
Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability Director Ollie Kroner and Washington Post Climate Solutions Reporter Nico Rivero. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton, and technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.